This is Spotlight on Lead Poisoning, brought to you by Southern United Neighborhoods, a nonprofit that works on environmental issues and helps people buy their own homes and fix their credit. Call them at 1-800-239-7379 or go on the web at southernunitedneighborhoods.org for more information. My name is Marie.
I'm going to be talking with Miss Gail, who I've known for a while as a part of the Louisiana Roundtable for the Environment. So if you would like just to introduce yourself, Gail, and where you're from.
Sure. My name is Gail Findley. I am from South Alabama. I grew up about 3 hours, 3.5 hours directly, almost directly east of New Orleans. And I am executive director of an organization called Lead Safe Louisiana. Lead Safe Louisiana is working to raise awareness of the dangers of lead poisoning. We work through schools, churches, health organizations, pretty much anybody that whose ear we can gain to tell them that what lead does to children, and to tell them that children need to be tested and the damage, that long-term damage that lead does to children. The community groups that we work with are places in New Orleans like Kingsley House, which has a large population of children 6 and under, because those are the children who are most affected by lead poisoning. So we also visit churches and other elementary schools, the Head Start program that's operated by LSU. We work through them. We will pretty much go any place that has an audience of children 6 and under. And what happens with that a lot of times is that while lead is most damaging to children under the age of 6, that you'll find a home that you zero in on because there's a 6-year-old in it. Well, a lot of times there's also a 10-year-old in that house or a 12-year-old. And they're also affected too. And depending on how long they've lived in that house, the degree to which they might have been affected by lead could vary, but a lot of times just by administering or informing those who are the most vulnerable, you also come across children who can use some help in their own way. They just happen to be a little bit older.
Yeah, because it's important once you have a lead poisoned child to find the source of the exposure, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What we do is we work with Dr. Howard Mielke, and a lot of times the exposure can come in many different ways. It can come from a child being exposed to lead in the soil, to dust that's come in. It's made in China. It can come in through pottery or certain dishes. They have high levels of lead. So what Lead Safe Louisiana has the capacity to do is to test the soil. And we do that through Dr. Mielke, and we will take samples, and we will take samples. We will go to someone's home, take samples, and then he will help us test those samples. So he will also help us test lead dust as well. So it's really important that you find out what the source of the lead is, so you don't keep re-poisoning children over and over again.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter what you try to do to address the poison if you don't stop the source.
Exactly.
And sometimes visually you couldn't look at a house and tell some areas of exposure, right?
You can't, although especially if you can't look at soil and tell whether or not it has lead in it.
Yeah.
We did a house a few months back that the underside of the house was exposed. It was raised up on pilings, maybe 5 or 6 feet high. It was over in Central City, and the children parked their three-wheelers underneath the house. Well, the soil underneath the house looked just like the soil that wasn't underneath the house. But possibly because there had been lead paint on the house, it had flaked off, but the soil underneath the house where they parked their three-wheelers was extremely contaminated. And you couldn't look at it and tell that it was any different from the garden bed next to it.
Mm-hmm. And it was hard to believe that that could be, you know, the source.
It was hard to believe. At this particular house, sometimes you can tell if it's old paint and it's chipping off because of lack of maintenance. Because paint before 1978 had lead in it. Mm-hmm. And if the house isn't well maintained, meaning that people haven't come across and repainted that house and contained the lead in it and kept it maintained so that the lead on the wood, sorry, the paint on the wood doesn't flake off, as long as you keep it well maintained, it's okay. But if you look at a flaky and older house, of which our city has a higher than average number of older homes, and you see flaky paint, you should be suspicious. At another house we tested, it was iron railings. There were iron railings for steps, and the children who lived there were 2 and 4 years old, I believe. And they were, because they were little guys, they used those hand railings to help them to pull themselves up the steps. And the hand railings were iron, and they were all flaky. Well, it turns out that those children were getting poisoned because the flakes were coming off in their hands. Their hands would go to their mouths, like to eat food or whatever, and that's how they were being poisoned.
Yeah, so sometimes you have to do an investigation, or it might take a while to find out the exact source.
Exactly.
Because sometimes it's not so obvious or not what you would expect.
Exactly. And you have to keep going. I mean, sometimes, you know, the Sewage and Water Board, if you ask them for test kits, they will eventually, they can test your water. Also, Dr. Adrian Kattner has the ability to test water to a certain degree, or to be able to tell you where you can get a kit to test your own water. So you do have to be a detective, and you have to go after it, and you have to have your tile tested again. I mean, you have to see if you can figure out what the source is, and then 30 days or so later, get your tile tested again, see if the blood lead level has dropped.
Yeah, you have to stay vigilant and try to address the issue. How did you first get interested in lead poisoning issues?
A while back, probably about after Katrina, I would come to Dorleans a lot to work. And then I would come a lot to volunteer. And I was aware of lead poisoning issues because of the work that had been done in Baltimore. And as it turns out, a lot of that work was done by Dr. Howard Mielke, who is now in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Through an organization in our family, we wanted to do some work that would perpetuate the legacy of this young woman. And she was an environmentalist. She loved digging in the dirt as a child. She was aware of environmental issues. And we, for a long time, we used to quote, because the spring was Michelle's favorite time of the year, and she loved digging in the dirt and looking at what she discovered when she did that. Well, we discovered in New Orleans it's dangerous for children to dig in the dirt. They can't discover the beauties of nature and the wonder of nature without the possibility of getting poisoned, because there are so many lead-contaminated yards. And so in her name, we started campaigning and telling people. And one of the things that we did for years when the city was recovering, and it was so hard to tell, to talk to people about flaky paint on your porch when they were just happy to have a refrigerator in the house. Now the priorities got shifted around there, understandably so. And so we would plant sunflowers in different fields where we had permission, people's yards, homes where the house had been washed away and there was nothing but a slab left standing. And we did that to raise awareness, because sunflowers are phytoremediators. Sunflowers planted in lead-contaminated soil will eventually draw the soil up into their stems and their roots and their leaves, not the flowers and not the seeds, and pull the lead out of the soil. And then what we would do is we would plant them, and when they grew to maturity, which sometimes they got mowed down first, but when they would grow to maturity, we would take them to LSU Ag Center and have them tested, the leaves and the stems and the roots. And that way we could verify that, yes, indeed, there was lead in those plants. They were pulling it up from the soil. So that's how we got started. And then as the recovery moved on, we were able to do more direct education.
Yeah.
So that's how we got started.
What's the one thing that you think everyone should know about lead poisoning?
It's preventable. It's preventable. There's no excuse. There's no reason why children's brains are damaged. We want to call lead a neurotoxin. Well, neurotoxin's a nice word, but we should be saying brain-damaging lead. And it's preventable. We shouldn't be saying, oh, it's a neurotoxin, because people are like, well, what exactly is that? But it damages children's brains, and that's what we should be saying. This is a brain-damaging substance, and treat it that way.
What do you think the biggest obstacle is for the lead poisoning prevention work that you do?
It's ignorance. And it's not willful ignorance. It's just that it's hard to get the word out there. I remember going to a meeting in the Upper Ninth Ward, one of your meetings, and at the time there had been lead in some of the Orleans Parish public schools, and they were working on filters to get it out, and it was like, why hasn't anybody told us about this? As parents, because there was the outrage that if I had known my child might be drinking lead poisoned water, I would do something about it. I would say something. And that's what needs to happen. But education overcomes ignorance. And people who are affected by it are the most effective spokespeople for the problem.
Yeah, I think once you have a lead poisoning experience on a personal level, you become even more about outreach and education to others.
I totally agree. And the moms that I've met whose children have been poisoned, they are the ambassadors. They are the frontline ambassadors to say, get your children tested. This is what lead can do to them. Hopefully, if you get the source of it cleaned up soon enough, the damage, if the exposure hasn't been too long, it's not irreparable. But the other thing is, and I've seen this happen more than one occasion, is that children will be. It affects children's brains. We'll send a letter home or notice to a parent that we think your child's work is suffering from ADHD. Well, ADHD and lead poisoning have very similar. They affect the child in very similar ways. Inability to pay attention. Inability to accept discipline or to be disciplined. And the thing is, with lead poisoning, you can test the child and know what it is. With ADHD, there's just no point in putting a child on a drug like Ritalin without testing for other things first, because the signs of it are so similar.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think for the poisoned children and families that you work with, what do you think the greatest unmet need is for those families?
I think it's information that people who are on the front lines, the preschool teachers, the Head Start, those folks are like the frontline soldiers of this. I worked with a woman at Kingsley House, and who her children an off-campus educators, I think is what they were called. But she followed these children to their homes and met with them and their mothers. And these were these were Spanish-speaking families, and she went along to so she could interpret for me. And they didn't know, but this Kingsley House worker was aware of what could happen. And in this particular instance, the children were poisoned. We were looking for the source of it, and one of the sources was in some paint chips on the side of the house. And this worker for Kingsley House had the moral authority to march to the owner who ran a shop next door and say to him that your home is poisoning these children and you have to do something about this paint. And as an official at their school, I am telling you that we have done the research and you can do the research again, but your property is poisoning these children and it has to stop. Well, he painted the outside of the house. So we need workers, we need frontline workers who will inform parents and then take action.
Are there any sort of services, programs, or policies that you wish existed to help address this issue?
In other cities, in Rochester, New York, and in Baltimore, and in some areas of Illinois, in a number of cities, there are guidelines. Guidelines is not the right word. There are regulations for people who rent property. And these houses and apartments have to be, they have to be inspected, and they have to pass inspection before they can be rented out. And this is one way that we could really slow the growth of lead poisoned children if every house on a reoccurring basis, as it came up for rent again, if the owner had to get that property inspected and certified that it was lead safe. You know, when you sell a house anywhere, there's a federal law. It's a HUD guideline. It's one of the pieces of papers that comes when you are in the process of buying a house. And basically, it asks the seller if you are aware of any kind of lead contamination in the house. And most sellers say no, because they don't want to have to deal with the consequences of saying yes. But one of the things that a prospective buyer can ask the seller to do is to have the house tested, have the soil tested, have the water tested. Most of that can be done for like $300. Whereas if you move into that house as a new buyer, the problem is yours. You're the one who has to deal with any kind of cleanup or the consequences of that. So I would just say if the laws were a little bit stricter and enforced, a lot of places we have enforcement issues in New Orleans. We have laws on the book that prevent dry sanding of old houses. And you see workers out there with no protection whatsoever. You see the dust flying off in the air. There's no blue tarp. First answer to your question.
Yeah, because we have a lot, we have pretty good laws here in Orleans Parish, actually. They're just not enforced, and we have a universal testing. And a lot of times, that's not enforced.
So it's not like the laws are on the books. It's an enforcement. It's an enforcement issue. And that gets back to a personnel issue. And then that eventually comes back to the will of the people. If parents were to say to a particular politician, to a particular city council person, this is really important to me, politicians respond to that. We've seen that in the new Louisiana.
Yeah.
We've seen what Community Voice has done. Has been a chorus of people saying we've got to do something about this. It got loud enough so the politicians are listening, and that's the way this sort of thing is changed for the better.
So these, I think the regulations that we do have in place are some of our breakthroughs for the last, you know, few years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we just need some enforcement. And so what do you think it would take to eradicate lead poisoning once and for all in Orleans Parish?
I think I hate to be redundant here, but I think it takes a little bit. It takes people who are sick and tired of seeing theirs or their neighbors or someone in their family, a child who is born into this world with perfectly normal, perfectly everything going for it, who is exposed to lead for a long enough period of time so that they'll never be the same. They'll never be the same. They're brain damaged because of exposure to lead.
And so if people have more, need more information from you and your organization, how would they get in contact with?
There is an email I can give you, and basically it's leadsafelouisiana@gmail.com. It's just one word. I have a phone number. It's 504-535-5323. Give me a call there, and I will do what I can to assist, educate, test if need be, whatever I can do to help inform people about the issues with childhood lead poisoning.
All right. Thank you very much for talking with us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for reaching out to me.
All right.
You have been listening to Spotlight on WAMF LP New Orleans on 90.3 FM and streaming at WAMF.org. A recording of this broadcast and subsequent broadcasts are available at SouthernUnitedNeighborhoods.org.